One in every round? If we can turn to Ephesians 1, I'm going to read the whole chapter, but just concentrate on some of the verses. Firstly, I pray. I know Craig have prayed, so that's blessed me, but I'll pray personally myself as well. Father, I just thank you. Lord, I just pray as I come up here, Lord, and bring your word. Lord, is nothing of me, Father God. I just pray that you will undertake, that, Lord, you will speak to us through your word. Father, that we would receive from your word, that what you would have us receive, Father God. And I just pray, Lord, that I will just be a vessel, that people won't look at me, but, Lord, they look at you and focus upon you and your word. Father, undertake now, and I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put in effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Amen. Just leave that there a minute. First the apostle speaks of his position in God as an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Definition of apostle is a messenger who is sent out, a delegate, an ambassador of the gospel, officially a commissioner of Christ, an apostle with miraculous powers. And so Paul had not appointed himself to the apostolic ministry, nor had the early church. Rather, he acknowledges he had been chosen and commissioned by God himself. He was God's apostle, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and his words carried God's authority. At the start of this chapter, we read in verse 2, "Grace and peace to you, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Without grace in our lives, we cannot receive or know God's peace. When God reveals to us by his grace that we need a Saviour, when the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin and the need to be right with God through faith, that is God's grace on our lives. God's riches at Christ's expense. And when I come into God's presence, I can come into God's presence because Christ has paid the way for me to come into a place where I can pray to God. I cannot come this way on my own merit, my own way. God the Father has made that way through Christ his Son for us today, and thank God for Jesus. And the Lord Jesus Christ has paid the way for me to come, and that is grace today, church. Christ's sacrifice for you and me satisfied the Father's wrath against sin, our sin. And this sacrifice allows us entry into the Father's presence. We said grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Christ paid the way for us into God's presence. And Christ is the way, the only way to the Father. If we have received this grace through faith in Christ, then the Father sees us spotless in the Son. He sees his Son. And as born again children of God, God does not see our sin. He sees the spotless Son when he looks at us. What a revelation for all who can receive this today as born again believers. We are presented faultless before God. That is grace. Jude 1:24. "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." God is the one who will keep us from falling, not ourselves, and God will present us faultless. To declare that as children of faith in Christ we are the righteousness of God. So we as children of God through faith are presented faultless before God. And 2 Corinthians 5:21, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." That is grace today. We can have a divine exchange. And that grace, that word grace, the definition of grace, it means through favour, God's favour on our lives. The world may think that there are many ways to God and to prayer, and they do. We hear it in conversations. But we know as children of God through faith there is only one way, and that is through Christ today. We know John 14:6, Jesus answered Thomas when he said, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Luke 10:22, Jesus said, "All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Praise God, church, for this personal revelation on our lives. The world may try all other ways, all other roads, but they will lead to destruction. Matthew 7:13, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Grace leads us on that narrow road today. When we have received this grace through faith, we can know the peace of God on our lives. Recently, I've been praying for people with particular needs, and I've asked the Lord that the Lord would give them that peace that surpasseth all understanding. Through Christ today, we are so in need of God's peace. Because when we have the peace of God on our lives, it protects us from spiraling into a dark hole. We can experience this peace in the torment, in the turmoil, in the fear, in the unknown. It is a hedge of protection in despair. A peace that surpasses all understanding in all our circumstances. Now I know peace does not blot out what we may be going through. But the peace of God will and can sustain us. God's peace can take over our minds and calm us down. I know from experience that the enemy will try and rob this peace from us, and he can for a time. The enemy can put obstacles in the way, but God can remove them. His timing is perfect. There's a quote from Corrie Ten Boom, and what faith that lady had, what trust. She said in a quote, "When a train goes through a tunnel and it gets dark, you don't throw away the ticket and jump off. You sit still and trust the engineer." And these couple of quotes that I feel the Lord put in my spirit last night late, that these quotes are not to make a sermon seem better, or but it's the word of God that we need to be preached. But these quotes are through people's experience. Their experience. They are speaking of their experience, their testimonies. And God is blessed with that. I must read Philippians 4:6. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." God's will for us is to experience this peace in every situation. Every situation. New King James says, "surpasses all understanding." This verse confirms that the peace that transcends or surpasses all understanding is only found in Christ. And when we pray, we need first to be thankful. Then, with a thankful heart to God for all he is and all he has done, present your requests. And so the apostle greets the believers with grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And the definition of peace is to join, quietness, rest, set at one again, to join with peace, peace with God, set at one with God. And we find that through grace. And this passage speaks also of being chosen, marked out. I love this bit. Beforehand, to be adopted as children into God's family. You know, looking back, I can see God's hand on my life from a young age, growing up in the Salvation Army. But God had already put his hand on my life from before the creation of the world. Picked out already, before even sin entered the world. Amazing, we can only see in part, but then God's word can reveal so much more to us as we grow in our faith. And I understand now, I've always belonged to him, but there needs to be a time when we receive Christ as our Lord and our Saviour through faith, and then we can begin to understand that we belong to Jesus. Verse 4, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight, in love." And I thought, what great love that it goes on to say he predestined, but in love. And I was thinking the verse, John 3 verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life." In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and his will. What a love, what a cost. The Lord Jesus Christ dying in our place. It was his pleasure and his will. He marked us out. "They are mine, adopted by Almighty God into his family." This was God's pleasure and will for us. How wonderful is that, church? He purchased us with his life's blood. Verse 6, to the praise of his glorious grace which he has freely given us in the one he loves. This grace will lead us home, a line in Amazing Grace in the song. Whatever we are facing today as Christians today, the grace of God will lead us home. We know the grace we receive at the point of conversion is sufficient, Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and it is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast, but also in our walk with him as Christians. Jesus says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And this grace should reflect in our lives to God. Upon writing this message in the week, my soul, I heard something of what's going on over the WhatsApp, and my soul could start to become downcast. And it could have well done through studying this word. But I thought of the verse in Psalm 43, verse 5. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Grace allows us to put our hope in God. A sure foundation is not like the world's, oh, I hope so, I hope this will happen, I hope that will happen, like the foolish builder who built his house on the sand. No, it's a sure foundation. Definition of hope here is to wait, to be patient, to trust. We know God is faithful. All God's ways are true and perfect. Psalm 18, verse 30, as for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. We can surely trust him today. Proverbs 3, 5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. God knows where he has taken us, church. And Psalm 46. I just read the whole psalm. I'm going to turn to Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen. Here the psalmist exhibited a confident faith in God as his refuge in troublesome times. The psalm's background in my Bible notes may be the crisis of 701 BC, when God miraculously delivered the city of Jerusalem from the armies of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria. And the psalm starts with the psalmist acknowledging that God is our refuge. Refuge is our safe place, our haven, a place where we run to, our strength. The definition, some of the definitions of refuge, is our shelter, our trust, our hope, our protection, our ever-present help in trouble. Present. God is always with us. My mother-in-law used to say to me when she was ill, she was asking the Lord to give her strength. The strength was always what she was asking for through her sickness. God's strength in times of trouble. Verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And that word exalted, the primary root for that is to be high. And in Philippians, we read that God has exalted him to the highest place. And he's given him the name above every name. Given him the name above every name. Amen. And that word still means to sink, to relax, to slacken. And I was thinking of that old worldly, phrase which used to be used, cut me some slack. I don't hear it now so much, but I haven't heard that for a while. This word slack, and this encourages us to stop all struggle and find the peace of faith. Such peace comes only as we acknowledge God's lordship on our lives and surrender to his will. When we are tense and worried and anxious, it consumes us. And I've been there. And I know that there are times when I have been unable to relax and sink into God's presence. But God wants us, he encourages us to be still and know that I am God. And yet in my darkest nights and darkest times, it was God I most needed. It was his peace I most needed. And when we think of God choosing us from the beginning of creation, predestinated in Christ, that word predestinated means to limit in advance, to predetermine, to determine before. It's just amazing that we belong to him. We are precious to him. Don't listen to the enemy's lies or our own doubts. We were marked out before the beginning of time. God has got his eye on us, his children. He is a good father, a perfect, loving father to his children. To learn to trust him more. To learn to be still more. To learn to sink into his presence more. Help us, Lord, to be still and know that you are God. And in everything, we need to trust you. To be still and know that you are God in our own lives and the world as a whole. God says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. God's mercy and faithfulness, Lamentations 3:22. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. Our portion is our peace, our grace, our mercy, our forgiveness, our new life, found in him alone, in Christ alone today. One very elderly lady, I know, used to tell me how she clutches into Jesus. And I wrote her a card recently because I haven't visited her for a very long time. And I said to her in the first few lines, I hope you're still clutching Jesus. What a place to be, resting upon his bosom, in his arms. What a place to be. God is so good and his promises are sure. We can only clutch into Jesus when we know him. I'll just share some of the lines of the song, "Tis So Sweet." "Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. Just to take him at his word. Just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh for grace to trust him more. How sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, and in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing cleansing flood. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest, and joy and peace. Oh, I'm so glad I've learned to trust him, precious Jesus, Saviour, friend. And I know that thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. And that lady wrote those lyrics in the 1800s, 1880 to 1882, I've read. And the lady was called Louisa M. Arstead. And I read that she wrote the lyrics out of personal loss in her life. Widowed at a young age with a young child, no way financially to support themselves after her husband's death. And out of this unimaginable situation of despair, the words of this classic hymn were penned. I'm sure many of the old hymns are from experiences and the new ones as well that we read. Through the valleys with God comes restoration, hope and glory to God and his faithfulness to his children. And in verse 7, Ephesians speaks of redemption and forgiveness. He has redeemed us. He paid the ransom for our sinful souls in full. We have been forgiven, the Bible says, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. And I believe God wants us to know we are dearly, dearly loved by him today. And if we could only grasp how much he loves us, and his love is for us, we could live this life in a whole different way. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And he goes on to say, and you were also included. Praise God who have been included in Christ today for those who are born again. And you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. That was God's purpose for us. To save us if you're saved today. I was thinking of Romans 8:28, the purpose God has for our lives. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. We have been included in Christ today if we have heard the message of salvation and received it and are born again. God has our lives all worked out for the good. And we have been called for his purpose. First for salvation and then to live a life in him for his purpose. Praise God, we have been included in this gospel in Christ that the Apostle Paul talks of. God chose us. The Bible says when you believe, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. That's amazing. Definition of seal is to stamp with a signet, a private mark for security or preservation. Only God can give us this seal, to the private mark received only through faith in the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. The chapter speaks of the Holy Spirit being a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. The sealing of the Holy Spirit. When we become God's children, he places his mark of ownership on us, guaranteeing our eternal security. This is spoken of as a down payment of our full redemption to hold us until the day Christ brings us to him. God's pledge to his children. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. This chapter speaks of every spiritual blessing, to name but a few. God's redemption. Redemption speaks of buying one's freedom, paying a ransom. Christ was our ransom for many. The price of our sins, the payment to buy us out of eternal condemnation, hell, was fully paid by the blood of Christ. In Christ, we are no longer slaves to sin, but we become slaves to God. Since we are bought and paid for by his blood, we have an obligation to glorify God in our body and our spirit. Forgiveness of sins, it is closely related to redemption, but looks at the other side of the coin. In paying the ransom for sins, the debt of our sin was cancelled, and we were forgiven. No longer need to carry the burden of guilt for sin, for violating God's laws, holy laws. God gives us wisdom and insight through his word and has shown us his desire to bring all things together to glorify Christ. The Apostle Paul in verse 17 is asking God to give us the Spirit. The Apostle Paul says he's asking God to give us the Spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we know him better. We need the Holy Spirit to enlighten our minds to what God will speak to us through his word. He goes on in verse 18 to speak about the eyes of our heart being enlightened, in order that we may know the hope to which he has called us, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. 1 John 4:4, you dear children from God, you dear children are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. The power that lives in us by God's Spirit is the same power that raised Christ from the dead. God has given us the power to live this victorious life in Christ. Verse 18, the Apostle Paul says, he prays that the eyes of our heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he was called us, which he has called us, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same, as we just said, that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. These verses in this passage speak of spiritual blessings. This is where our blessings come from heaven. God has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. He has chosen us. Even before sin entered the world, he marked us out to be his. He saved us. John 1 verse 12, as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Glorious grace which he has freely given us in the one he loves. He has redeemed us through his blood, forgiven our sins. We are his. We have the power of the Holy Spirit within us. God's word says in Zechariah verse 6, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. What are we striving to do in our own strength today? And I question myself as well. God says to you and me, it is not our might or our strength, not our power, but by God's Spirit. Do we bring everything to Jesus? Are we being still in God's presence? Do we slacken and rest and relax in him, because that's what he wants for us? Remember Mary, the sister, she sat at Jesus' feet. May we ask the Holy Spirit to help us to do this, to rely on him and to be led by God's words. We read in Gospel of John chapter 14 verses 15 to 16. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit he's not going to leave them orphans. He says to his disciples, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The Holy Spirit is our spiritual guide and our comforter. He is ever with us, ever present for every situation. And I'd like just to finish with a quote I shared on Bible Plan, and it's just blessed me so much. It's from Spurgeon. He says, he who counts the stars and calls them by names is in no danger of forgetting his own children, those he have purchased with his blood. That's just, I've said that, but the quote was, is in no danger of forgetting his own children. And more importantly, the scripture, he calls the number of the stars, he counts the number of the stars, he calls them all by name. Great is our Lord, and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. The NIV says his understanding has no limits. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that you are an amazing God, and that you have marked us out. You predestined us before the beginning of time, before the creation of the world. Lord, help us to grasp how much you love us. Help us to grasp the great sacrifice that you gave your only Son to die for us, that we may live this life loved by you, loved by God, loved by the Lord Jesus Christ, loved by the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you. Lord, I thank you for this word. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, without you, I cannot live this life. And Father, I thank you that you've shown me who Christ is. And I thank you for every born-again believer in this building. And if anybody has not saved you today, oh Father, would you touch their hearts and would you save their souls? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.